Ranger Candy Coffee Company is a veteran-owned, handcrafted premium coffee roaster located in Shoehorn Bend, Arkansas. They offer a variety of single-origin and flavored coffee. Their coffee is roasted and packaged by husband and wife duo Larry and Sierra Littlefoot. Ranger Candy Coffee Company has also partnered with Disabled American Veterans, a 501c4 nonprofit that supports combat veterans in their post-war readjustment process. They donate a portion of their profits to them as a way to give back. So when you shop at Ranger Candy Coffee Company, know that you are supporting not only a veteran-owned small business, you are also supporting an outstanding veterans nonprofit. Check out Ranger Candy Coffee Company's selection of special blends, K-Cup, single origin and flavored coffee at rangercoffeecandycompany.com. Use promo code Andres Segovia and get free shipping on your order. So go to rangercandycoffeecompany.com, choose your blend, size, and brew, and taste America in every sip.
This is the Andres Segovia Show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Andres Segovia Show. This is a local broker react, and quite a special one, actually, because I've been waiting to do this very episode, and I finally have the chance to just finally get it out the door to react to something that I've actually seen many years ago, but I'm going to see it again, and I intend to do a follow-up to this. So technically, this is more of a three-part thing. The first part was actually on Locals, because there I do the Critic Corner with my co-host Travis Barnes, and he and I have this this love for this film called Heat. We became fast friends that we always talk about Heat every time we meet. And I don't know what it is about the movie, but it's just this power around it, the lore of the film, in the film, outside the film, things like this. Anyway, there's just so much to the film. And there's a documentary that came out on the 10-year anniversary showing Los Angeles then, when the movie was made in 1995. And now, which was 2005 when the special DVD release was released. Well, what I can tell you is it's changed a lot since too. So I intend to do an update about that. And hopefully I can make it happen, because I intend with Travis to be on the ground where the movie was filmed. And it's a little different this time, knowing how crazy LA has become. But anyway, before I get into the reaction, I wanted to quickly go over this. If you don't already know, there's a roast named after me. I have my tech stuff for sale on Amazon. My books that I published are also available on Amazon. Available on print, on Kindle, including The Andres Segovia Show, The Early Days. It is coming to Kindle as well. Finally, it's not just hardcover and paperback anymore. But on top of that, if you don't already know, I've been posting this on my social media, particularly Instagram. I have a lot of referral links, and I recommend that you bookmark this page, because there's going to be a lot more referral links that are added to this. The Acropolis News Network, Jeremy's Razors, Samsung. Yes, Samsung. That's Samsung. Manscaped, Secret Lab, StreamYards that I use for creating these things, TRX for exercise, wall pastures. Oh, and there's more to this that I can't quite show you yet, but I will, and that's the additional affiliates that I am getting that I will be promoting for everywhere from software to my drinkware. So stay tuned for that. Those are different ways you can support the show. Whenever you use a referral link or purchase from Amazon, I get a slice of the cut. No extra expense to you. It's just a referral, and that's what helps keep the lights on and keep me caffeinated. And Locals is where you can support me directly and also get access to exclusive shows and articles now, which is pretty cool, and direct access to me. You can message me directly from there. Locals, sign up for free. Support me if you like. But without further ado, let's get into this reaction, shall we? Return to the scene of the crime. This is on YouTube, the Heat movie Return to the Scene of the Crime. That's the documentary. Then and now.
Michael is the type of director that you meet with. He was very specific on this film that he wanted it to be a certain look. Each character had an architectural style. And then also wanted it to be locations that you'd never photographed in Los Angeles before.
When Michael contacted me on this project, and he said to me, I want you to rethink about Los Angeles. I want you to discover like you've never seen it before. Look at it like you've never seen it before. Mm. So I started going around at night, find different areas, taking pictures, showing different flavors. Take a look at this. Shoot this now. Shoot this.
Speaking of which, I know exactly where he is and where he's going. This is the 110 freeway. It looks like he's traveling northbound from South Bay. So that means he was around 91 freeway, the Glendora area, traveling up. So I'm an Angeleno. So I've driven through all this.
The beauty of Los Angeles.
This is the freeway scene that actually leads up to where...
Yeah, see? That's exactly what I said.
For the first time. What's great...
Let me buy you a cup of coffee.
He allows you to go off on your own and trust you that you spend a week or so just going and getting your choices.
Brought you in downtown Los Angeles.
With him usually once or twice a week with Guzman. And trust you that you...
Okay. All right. So they just passed Slauson Avenue. Vernon is coming up. Adams Boulevard was the exit that I would take to go to my church. I moved to Orange County, but I still went to a Spanish church up until a decade ago when I got married. My wife being Taiwanese and Spanish is not in her vernacular. We ended up going to a church more local, centrally located to us. But this was a drive that was all too common for me. And my goodness. It kind of looks like that still, I'd say. Back then, it still looked newer. To the left-hand side, that's what looks like an overpass. That's actually the carpool lanes. The carpool lanes that have been turned kind of into express lanes now. Well, they're express lanes. Back then, they were still carpool. You could actually still see the white carpool sign on that pass. But it doesn't. It's not a continuous drive. As soon as the bridge gets over... to I guess the USC area. USC is to the left hand side of this. When it gets there, you have two off ramps. One that feeds you direct into the traffic of the freeway, and the other one is that throws you off into Adams Boulevard, because that's where the connecting bridge ends. But they left it open-ended because it looks like it's meant to continue through downtown. But it's been like that for nearly two decades or more. So I guess whatever plans they had, it's been stifled by whatever general management plans or areas that did not want that passing through. I don't know. But I'm just giving you some insight as to what that looks like. And that's how familiar I am with this. I used to live down the other way on the southbound 105. I was born and raised the Compton-Watts border, literally, before the 105 freeway was even made. So yeah, let's continue.
A week or so just going and getting him choices. Come back and you have a meeting with him, usually once or twice a week, with Guzmano, the production designer, and you go through all of the folders. And what's great about Michael is that he comments on each folder. So he'll write on.
Oh, okay. So this is not just because they cut away. This is Long Beach. Okay. And I mistakenly said Glendora. where they're coming from. It's Gardena. Glendora, I had Glendora on the mind because my contractor had told me that he was going to Glendora and then to Walnut. And Glendora is actually on the... If anyone's familiar with Raging Waters, it's over there. So it's nowhere close to where I was saying, but I never start with a G. Like, you just, Glendora, like, that doesn't sound right. It's like, no, it's Gardena. Sorry, Gardena. And just got to think Gardena Gardens, because there's a lot of Japanese gardens in that area. So Gardena. So I got to remember that. But this is Long Beach.
That was good, bad,
Port of Long Beach.
Warm, and yeah. You then sort of keep them in piles, because what he'll do is a lot of times, 6 months down the road, he'll say, well, remember that place that I saw? His mind is impeccable.
Yeah, this... It's not really around anymore, this place.
Like a week prior to this,
yeah,
with Michael, I came over here and photographed the area. So when he got here and he saw this yellow sulfur, he was all excited. So this is the world, you know, like you see that yellow mountain sulfur over there? See, this is the world of Dogtown. See, it was all in here, all this area here. Now they're close to the traffic. Before, yeah, we could go through here with the car, driving the middle of the tracks, there was a pergola with grapes, and there was Mexican guys sitting there smoking cigarettes, playing domino. There were shags after shags, a little community of people living inside of this little cardboard boxes. There was cockfights, there was dogfights. And way on the other side, it was this huge goat farm. And in the middle of this, there was a freight train at 5 o'clock in the afternoon that it will go through all this incredible civilization. And there will be people coming in and out of the train, like jumping off, getting to the train, going somewhere. It's like the best corrosive architecture of Los Angeles. It was here.
I'll give you a little idea of where my estimates come from. This is a print.
Nobody knew the merch was yours.
The scene was done here.
The scene was done there. You had the computers and stuff out here. That was a carport there with a sliding glass door.
Right.
Right.
Since then, the room's been closed in.
Yeah, some satellite dishes here as well, or?
You had a little piece. We put another 60-foot tower right here.
Right.
That's right.
An extension.
60-foot tower. You guys wanted us to take down the guide wires, and I said, there's no way I can put a 60-foot tower up there, because I said the wind blows up here something fierce, and if that thing bends over, it'll come all the way down.
Exactly, so. And that's right, and we actually filmed from the driveway because you could see the freeway and the mountains. What an amazing spot.
Yeah. Spoiler!
Look at the way this house is built. You know, it's like toothpicks holding the structure. Something very special, you know, for Danny Trejo character. It was perfect, this house. I love this, the altitude. You know, there was something very peculiar about this house and stilt. And this whole area, this is like, you know, it's like the heart of East LA. There's only three or four hills.
Yes.
You know, and beautiful. Look at that downtown view.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, basically, when we moved in here, we knew this was the heat house, and this was the room where the guy and the crew got shot, and he released who ratted him out. So we pulled up the carpet, and to our surprise, right here on this spot was the actual blood stain from the scene. A little piece of history of heat right there under the floorboards.
You know, I chased down some crews, guys just looking to fuck up, get busted back. At you?
You must have worked some dipshit crews.
I worked all kinds.
This is it. This is the table. This is the power table.
Okay, here's a bummer. 10 years ago, this coffee house was sold. This diner was sold, or closed. Closed, sold, one of the two. So it's that piece of history is gone. Especially such an iconic scene like that. It's a heartbreak because my buddy and I talked so many times about going over, like, hey, let's go try to get at least a table next to, if not the table where they shot the scene, only to find out that, it's no longer there. So hoping that it happens, that I'm able to go with my buddy out there to walk these same places that they did, then we can show where the diner is and or was.
This is where everybody wants to come in this restaurant.
Since this was, to Michael, a very important moment, he actually wanted us to keep looking and looking and looking. And
sure.
In fact, it was probably 2 days before we were actually scheduled to film here. Michael still hadn't chosen which location he wanted to shoot. And in fact, remember Guzmano, the other choice, which what you came up with, was the little taco stand.
The little stand by the side of the freeway.
By the side of the freeway.
With the flames coming out of that. Yeah.
So Michael went back and forth actually on either going to the taco stand or shooting here. So
I thought, you know, they're driving at night in the freeway.
Yeah.
A little side, they got off the freeway, so let's have a bite to eat.
So there was a rumor that they were here at separate times. And I think that more than I direct people to the bathroom here, or have to say we don't take reservations for anything under 6, I have to tell people, no, they were here the same time. They were together.
It was, it's a fact. It's a definite fact that the two of them were in that
but
scene.
But not only that, but also what that photograph there tells you.
There you go.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This architectural style and the glass and the opening matched very well to the bank that we ended up filming, which is Far East Bank that's at another location. But it all worked quite well in matching that this would be the exterior, and you could believe that the inside was a bank. The guys come out with suitcases full of millions of dollars. They come across the courtyard here, And as you can see in the scene, and this is where running down, this is where they proceed to start doing the whole chase sequence. What they ended up doing is all of these bus stops, the side of the Bonaventure Hotel, all had, was all squibbed, special effects put up pre-squibbed walls so that whenever it looked as if they were shooting, all the little squibs would hit on the side of the building, and it continued running all the way up to right where Figaro is.
We shot thousands and thousands of rounds, and there were tourists watching this incredible shootout, going to the street, picking up this shell as a souvenir.
I remember that.
Tourists from Japan, from Europe, watching mesmerized this incredible Hollywood production. And going for the shell, the empty shell on the sidewalk.
Yeah, but not everybody knew it was that they were filming there. That's why some of the scary reactions from people out there are genuine, because it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? There's some people that were calling the police because they thought that this was really going down.
Now, one of the things that was pretty, that was amazing.
Only to see the police actually there.
Was that we actually fell behind a weekend, and it fell on Mother's Day. And this restaurant, Cafe Pinot, which had just opened up, had pre-reserved the whole restaurant for a Mother's Day buffet. So all of these mothers are supposed to supposedly having this beautiful lunch and had to watch a gunfight. It was actually quite extraordinary. They ended up having a lot of fun, and it was a bonus that I don't think anyone ever anticipated, that eating their brunch out the window is Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. But this is
dinner
where
and
it
a
all
show.
Kind of culminated in the thing.
I had this big table set up with the map of downtown. We had cars, miniature cars, everything set up. It was like planes for World War III.
And we actually filmed it from 4th Street. First of all, he came through that little cafeteria area. Right. Then he came through the fountain, and then he ended up over there on 4th Street. So Tom Sizemore ends up getting killed here. I mean, we shot scenes over here, but we actually ended up having some cameras here because this is the area that he died in.
No, Tom Sizemore didn't. His character did.
This is where we ended up doing the ending scene of the film, where it took us months and months of actually organizing it with LAX.
Right.
But what Michael found interesting here was, and because it was at night, was the lineup of all of the lights that actually in the radar system that guides the planes in and being underneath the flight path. So the first night actually at LAX was on the runway scene where De Niro comes out of, I think it's the Delta terminal, starts running across. We had to shoot that after midnight because that portion of the runway, I think it's 1,000 feet, it's an extension to the runway where they land 747s. And I think after midnight, there was a short window where we could use that portion of the runway. So we had a real 747, it was a Delta airplane,
right.
And De Niro actually ran in front of the plane.
For about maybe 3 weeks, every day, Michael Mann will send me to here with the art department and measuring stakes to position in those boxes.
Was every day. It was
every
different.
Day.
It was an inch here,
an inch
there.
Here, an inch this way, 2 inches this way, to photograph the installation with those boxes. It was an
to
amazing
get it exactly perfect,
perfect
for Michael and to logistically set it up for the action with De Niro Pacino at the end.
Right. So I think the logistic and the geography of, you know, take place in the story, and also the beauty of this location, which is, just think about it, you know, two people running for their life under this jets landing and taking off, and the sound and, you know, all that it kind of surreal, and the end of, it's like it coming to at the end of the rope, you know.
What we accomplished on Heat could never be accomplished nowadays. And in fact, LAX's filming policy is guerrilla style, news style, 20 people only. Our access to the control tower, our access access to this area right here would be completely against FAA regulations now and off limits, absolutely off limits. So I think that probably will be the last film to ever shoot that kind of scope probably any airport in the world.
Oh man, that was good. Whoa, I need to see the movie again. I had pre-ordered the 4K of this film, but then the reviews came in and my buddy, who is an aficionado, was very disappointed too. I'm like, really? So I'm good with the Blu-ray. So I canceled my pre-order, so I can't definitively tell you from my side how the 4K transfer rate was or was not. But what I can say is this is a phenomenal film. It is the perfect film. There's a reason Michael Mann spent so much time doing this. And basically, he did a movie made for TV that was kind of like the trial run, like the rough draft of this very thing. You know, there's so much to go into. I recommend you check out my episode of The Critic Corner, where Travis takes the lead on it and just breaks it down. We talked a long one. This is a long episode, folks, but it's worthwhile to get into some nuggets of it. And I do go into explaining how there's certain even Warner Brothers properties today that pay homage to, particularly the Batman films, to Heat. So there's a lot of inspiration from the, I would say, like the past decade and a half of Batman films that draw inspiration from Heat. The question is, who did it better? I venture to say that Heat did it better, miles better. And still, that's how much of an impact it has on films that even maybe you didn't realize it had an impact on if you haven't seen Heat. And if you haven't seen Heat and you're watching this reaction video, sorry for the spoilers. Still watch it, though. It's an amazing film. But anyway, I don't want to make this longer than it has to be. This was great. I hope to be able to do the follow-up to this on the ground with my buddy. I don't think we'll be able to walk all these. I know LAX is off limits, so I'm not even going to try to go there. But the cafe spot for sure, where the shootout took place, so I want to walk that place. And spot the two houses that they did the radar house and the Danny Trejo home. They're still around, but I don't know how access is now. A lot's changed in the nearly 20 years since this thing was made. Almost 20 years since they made this documentary. And believe me, a lot has changed. But most of all, I want to show you how much LA itself has changed, which is heartbreaking, to say the least. But anyway, that's the first one. Thank you so very much for watching this episode of The Andres Segovia Show and another installment of Local Broker Reacts. I'll see you on the next one.